Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Just a quick disclaimer. We are not medical doctors, therapists, or dietitians. So please check with an allied health professional before making any changes.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Super Gym Friends. I'm Joel.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Zach.
And this week in Fit Zach,
we're doing Basics of Programming, Part 2.
Did you realize that I just forgot what I was
saying? Oh, yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
2 seconds as I was talking.
The look of confusion was amazing.
I was primed. I had, the second I saw that look, my brain was like a submarine. And the captain was like, enemy sub, load the missile. And then in the torpedo tube. And this week in Fit got loaded in and was ready to fire when you didn't know what to say.
My brain caught up eventually. Yeah. I do too many shows. Anyway, so we're talking...
I can do the introduction if you want me to.
Ooh!
Would you like me to do the introductions from now on?
Maybe one less responsibility for this little hand.
Sure, I can do them.
All right, sick.
Yeah, so...
scheduling?
I was just going on for the ride along one. Yeah. I was like, yeah, sweet.
You were the merchant vessel in between our two submarines.
Yeah. I was like, no, don't squish me.
I was like, oh yeah, we're escorting this merchant. Yeah, well, we'll do that later. All right, yeah, what do you want? What are we selling? So what are we selling?
Yeah, exactly. What are we selling?
Yes.
No, so just kind of jumping off from where we finished last episode talking about splits, mm-hmm. Now we're going to dive into like the little bit more nitty gritty of like the actual individual sessions that we will be doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I don't know how much you guys remember from last episode, but we kind of...
Let's see, a little bit of recap.
Yeah.
So you're ideally, your minimum is what you want to do is a 3-day split.
Yep.
As is in your basically your minimum. And those you kind of, you're meant to be doing or you would full recommend
body.
Full body
yep.
3 times a week.
Yeah.
Then you kind of go on to the 4 times a week and you're sort of doing your upper, is it? No, it's your, like your legs. Is it upper, lower? And then what was the fourth
one? I'm like trying to give like I'm playing those charades here.
There's a push pull legs.
Yep. Yeah.
Push pull, and that's the 5-day split. Yeah.
No. So you almost had it there. So 4-day split, we'll do an upper lower, mm-hmm. upper lower. So like rest in between, upper lower,
okay.
rest, upper lower.
Yeah.
5 days, upper lower rest, push pull legs.
Sorry, what was 4 days again? Sorry.
Upper lower.
Oh no. Oh, and then legs is just
part of lower.
Legs is lower. Like,
oh.
It's just, I don't, like, you could
There's
say-
two legs days in the 4-day one.
Yeah.
Damn.
Huh.
Actually, leg day doesn't really do much to me.
Yes.
Really? Like,
yes.
We did leg day pretty, fair. We did leg day pretty recently, and I was like, fine. Although, also, to be fair, I could have gone a bit harder on the leg day most recently. Well, mentally, I kept telling myself I was going easy on myself, but actually, was I going so easy on myself? Trying to think. But
honestly, only you could say, but that's where like RPE comes in, where you get to do your like numerical score. You can kind of makes it a little bit easier to judge.
I could have gone up on some of the things we did, but I would have had to have gone to a lower amount of
reps.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say a personal fuck you to Joel. for that last leg session, because I think for about like for about maybe like I want to say legitimately maybe 6 months now.
Yeah,
I've been doing the exact same weight on the leg extension, which for those of you who don't know is like a quad based movement. It's like a machine that you use, and it is by far the single worst machine in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
It is the best for like quad growth.
Mm-hmm.
But it sucks. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I've been doing like the exact same weight 6 months. and you come in on our last leg session and go, I'm going to do what Zach does.
Yeah.
And you do it.
Yeah.
And then the next set, you go heavier. And I'm like, piece of shit. Now I have to match his weight. And I will tell you, yesterday, like after our, the day after our leg session, my quads were so sore. Like the most soreness I've felt on them, like,
I'm so sorry.
Ages.
I'm so sorry. A leg what, Zach? A leg session?
What? Sorry, I'm slurring my words in fury.
Yeah.
I'm just so mad. I'm like, I could have lived the rest of my life never going up in leg extension weight, and I would have been happy.
I'm so sorry. This is the one thing where I can actually match you kilo for kilo when it comes to
Well, you didn't match me. You upped me. I'm like, far out. No,
exactly. Look, I've got at least, you know, in my day-to-day life, I'm walking around holding probably like 20 more kilos than you as like a base.
I don't know. Zach was telling us his weight or whatever, and like, I'm sad to find out.
Are you remembering the actual one or the one where I lied?
Oh.
Well.
Because I said 105, which is not what I weigh.
Oh, no. I'm remembering 80.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I'm at about like...
Oh, should I bleep that out? Do you not want the people to know?
I don't care.
I'm going to bleep it out anyway.
No, don't do that. No, I'm at like, you get like, for me, I want to gain weight, so like my weight is not like a... Mm.
Anyway, all I'm saying is you weigh less than me, and muscle weighs more than fat,
really?
Which, yeah. Huh. Yeah.
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 Okay.
Zach, oh, don't worry. I know. Yeah. I can't think. Okay. I can't stop thinking about it.
This boy over here is pushing about almost 100.
That's where I want to get to.
I'm about 90.
Yeah.
A bit over.
I'll get to 100 kilos. That would be so big. In muscle, like just pure muscle. Just
Yeah, I'm not that though.
Yeah, no, that's like not. I don't think that's like...
But
achievable.
Yeah, anyway, going back to what we were saying about legs and then going back to the actual topic of today. Mm-hmm.
We should get back to that.
That's the crazy thing about legs. Legs, like, kind of, you could put fat on them, but the more fat you get, sometimes just the more muscular they will also be.
That's kind of just like everything, though.
I don't know. My arms can be like little noodles.
But what it comes down to is if you don't do any resistance training, like you don't even if you're just walking on your legs, but you continue to put fat on the body, you're not going to get very muscular legs. Mm. But the process of gaining fat is the process of being in a caloric surplus.
Mm.
So being in a caloric surplus, gaining the fat, but doing resistance training means that you will inevitably be gaining muscle as well.
Mm.
So it's not just the legs. That's just a bit of everything.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing legs. My legs are quite sore. My legs are quite sore. Yeah, yesterday, but definitely today. So that's a lot of fun. I'm so happy. I'm not doing a hike this weekend because I don't think.
Oh, you're not gonna come with?
That tone was now more like, oh, okay.
Oh,
I'm called out.
I just kind of assumed you were coming because of the chat previously. I don't mind either way.
See how I'm feeling.
There is, though, a really funny thing. I don't know if we've discussed this on the show. And once again, this is off topic. I'm so sorry. Mm. But Jackson and I—well, Jackson more than I. I don't really think too much about it. Jackson likes to laugh about this. But there are, anytime I post like an Instagram photo of myself on a hike, I'll get like a bunch of people that we know, like friends of ours and stuff like that, who are like, "Oh, hiking. Let me know the next time you're going."
Yeah.
I let every time we go, I let a bunch of people know. And I get a bunch of responses back that are like, maybe not.
You know what's funny? I was going to say, let me know. I was legitimately like, next time you go.
Well, this Saturday.
No, not this week.
Whoops. That's all right. Look, hey, I'll add you to the list of people that I message.
Yep.
Yeah, if it's something with me, it needs to be like 2 weeks in advance. Book it 2 weeks in advance, I'll definitely be there. But
myself and Jackson never plan. I barely plan like tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
And it is tomorrow.
I know. And so I'm like, I think I've got people coming over. I genuinely don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is really interesting to like do the recordings and sessions with you guys, because I'm the complete opposite, where like I could tell you exactly what's happening like until what, like Sunday. No, until like Thursday, 3 weeks ahead.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, and this is how I kind of run my life, which is why this sort of scheduling is very like, okay, in terms of like, you know, oh, a 3-day split, 4-day split or whatever, is because one is because I get migraines a lot or headaches quite a lot, and that can be very debilitating for me. So I try to plan. So if I'm out for almost like a week, I can be like, it's fine. I've done everything. Like I've pre-recorded, I've pre-edited. All the things I got to do for work is there. I don't have to worry about it. Yep. So if I have a couple, you know, a week or maybe more where I am just on the ground and don't worry about it, or if I miss a day or two, it doesn't matter too much because, hey, I've got backups. Mm. Whereas, so that's like one aspect of it is sort of like how I run a lot of things. And then when it comes down to like, yeah, a 3-day split or a 4-day split, it's just like, cool, I hope I am well enough to do everything I need to do.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes a bit of a hassle.
Look, the benefit of like doing it though, it's, I know you've got a little bit of like special circumstances with your migraines, and migraines might be a little bit different, but for people who are worried about like getting sick and missing their sessions, by doing the sessions, you are decreasing your likelihood of getting sick as well. Because healthier body, you're going to be better suited to it. But is it also just like, just maybe a bit, I don't know, personal question. Is it also like a desire for like the freedom as well? Just to be able to like...
No.
No? Okay.
No. I think also because I'm a little scattered a lot. And so it's kind of like, you know, I get quite distracted to do other things. So it's very easy to be just like, oh, let's go over here. And then you... Yeah. So again, it's kind of like, I guess it does offer the freedom to do things on the spur of the moment or the start of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I think, you know, having a schedule, I would respond well to it.
So, in conclusion, a 3-day split is full body.
Yep.
A 4-day split is upper, lower, where lower is legs. It includes legs, or is
lower
legs.
Just is legs.
Is it's, legs, all right.
You could say upper legs,
so upper but body
it's,
legs,
it's just
upper
like legs. Upper and lower and make then more sense to say.
5-day, which is the one that you recommend the most, is it?
I think it's, I don't recommend any of them the most, but 5-day is what is good to build up to.
Okay. And then 5-day, which is upper, lower, legs, upper, lower. Did I get the order wrong?
No. So it's upper, lower, rest, push, pull, legs.
Okay. Upper, lower,
rest, push, pull, legs. So it's a
combination
of two legs. Like split styles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the 6-day for those crazy SOBs out rest. There. Is push, pull, legs, rest, push, pull, legs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So planning individual sessions.
So the first question, or one of the questions that I get asked a little bit, and I think we brought it up right at the end of the last session, is how long should I go for each session?
Mm-hmm.
And for a question so simple, there is so much you can go into with it. Like it could be a 2-hour conversation itself, but I'll try to like condense it down and just make some generalizations.
Yeah.
So when it comes to a training session, there are a few things that you want to keep in mind. When we start the session itself, you always want to have a little bit of a warm up beforehand. So normally about like 3 to 5 minutes of some moderate intensity cardio, preferably something that is going to use full body. So I put all my clients, including yourselves, on the rower for about 5 minutes. Just like light, get the blood flowing, warm you up. So
rower's really good for that.
Yeah. And the importance of that is, so you get the muscles warm because they're going to be active and warmer muscles are going to be a little bit looser. So you're not going to be so stiff as well as you're already starting to get blood flow into the muscles. And the blood is really important because that's where we're going to be transporting energy and nutrients, which is required for the contractions, those muscle, the movements that we're going to be doing later on.
Because when we're training at home, I tend to do skipping instead.
Yeah, which is like great as well. Skipping, you're using your arms, using your legs. You're going to warm up.
Skip.
You can't skip.
No, I can't. You've seen me. You laughed at me. Do you
That's
remember?
Rude of me. Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We can try. How long ago was it? We can try again.
It was a while ago. I don't want to learn. I don't want to be laughed at.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
No, it's okay. Could, I'm just joking.
We could take your skipping again because I really enjoy skipping.
Take your skipping.
It's good. It's fun.
I'll just see you guys down the street.
Yeah.
Hand in hand.
So, warming up.
Yep, so do a warm-up. Then after that, I always recommend doing some dynamic stretching. So important thing is that your stretching is dynamic. Mm-hmm. So that means you're going to be taking the muscle through its range of motion, not taking it to the end of its range of motion and holding it. Mm-hmm. The reason for that...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, no, I get. I just understand now. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So the reason for... So, like, I guess an example of dynamic stretching would be arm swings or, like, shoulder, like, doing... What do you call them? Windmills?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like leg swings, things like that. Do them on different planes. So you're going to be using like planes of motion.
Mm-hmm.
So you're using different muscle groups when you're doing those different, in moving them in different ways.
I'm just going to quickly, so just in case people can't visualize this, like if you're doing legs, swing it backwards and forwards and then from side to side in two different exercises.
Yeah, so that's... using like the different planes. So the body has like planes of motion. So that's using two different planes of motion.
I understood, but anything worth explaining once is worth explaining twice.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah. And then, so the reason we want to do dynamics over static stretching is there is evidence suggesting that static stretching leads to a slight decrease in acute exercise performance or like muscular output.
Sometimes it's structural, sometimes it's not. Who is he?
Actually, I should say acute, like these are, I'm going to use acute and chronic are two terms which come up. They're like your more scientifically based terms for like adaptations in the body, just like effects, things that are going to happen. So acute means that it is in a short period of time, lasting only a short period of time. Chronic is something that is long lasting. So we want to be creating chronic adaptations, which is our muscle growth, strength gain, fat loss sort of things. Okay. Whereas an acute adaptation might be a pump where the blood rushes to the muscle. So the muscle acutely looks bigger, but it doesn't have any chronic adaptations where the tissue is actually bigger. Just a little bit example there.
Okay. I understand.
Yep.
Yeah.
So like an example of that is doing like hamstring where you're like toe touches, where you're holding it for 5 seconds might then have a slight decrease in your deadlift output, which is a very hamstring dominant movement. So it's going to like take away. So,
okay.
Yeah. Just something to keep in mind with that. We're going to talk about injuries a little bit later, but be aware that these are not permanent rules. Like, if they're the circumstances, there are circumstances with which I would recommend doing static stretching. Those are if you have specific weak links that you're trying to work on with your body.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that I'm very much like is very important to me with how I train both myself, but the people I train with. And it's finding out, cool, everybody has dysfunctions in their body. Everybody has mobility restrictions. And for those specific mobility restrictions, we're just going to accept that we're going to take a slight decrease in our output for the next few months because it's more important to free up the body, do this static stretching where the body can then move throughout its like full range of motion, move in ways that aren't going to cause pain or cause further injury, rather than just having the heaviest lifting session you can in that one moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I think that goes against a lot of my brain. That
100%.
Brain of mine, which the cycle seems to be lift heavy thing. That hurts something. Keep lifting heavy thing. Oh, no. That really hurts something. Keep lifting heavy thing. And then being out of
to the point where you're like, close to paralyzed in pain, and then you literally can't.
I don't think close to paralyzed, genuinely cannot move, and it feels like something has gone completely wrong, and then I'm out of commission for maybe a couple months.
Yeah, like that's the whole idea. That's one of my really big training philosophies and something that I want to instill in everybody listening is that sometimes by taking your time with how you want to train, how we're going to progress, and then these like very specific things like our stretching and that, it's going to take more time. It's going to feel or sound like it'll take more time.
Mm.
But it's a lot quicker doing it this way than, like you were saying, pushing it too hard, not working on your mobility restrictions, not working on your weak links, diving into the gym with a big ego, getting yourself injured, and then having to go off for a few months, starting again at the point where you've already lost all your progress that you just made.
Yeah, it sounds about the right cycle.
That's a lot longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, as fun as that sounds.
Consider of destroying your body is right for you.
So, okay, so that hasn't worked for the best, let's say, almost a decade and a half. So maybe I won't do it again.
Yeah, maybe
don't.
Side
effects of destroying your body include back pain, shoulder pain.
Everybody has back pain. It's so good. Hate back pain.
It sucks.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things to work with people on, though.
Yeah.
Back pain is just, it's so interesting. It's very multifaceted and we'll dive into that later.
Just going on to those types of stretches briefly. So I see a remedial masseuse pretty regularly, and I've been given, I think I would consider these some of those, the not dynamic. What was the opposite of dynamic again?
Static.
Static. I think I've been given some of those static stretches where I don't know any of the names of them, but one of them is like I put my back up against the wall and do kind of like a squat. I don't know how to describe it.
Oh, wall sit.
Yeah, a wall sit. Yeah. Yep. And then there are some other ones where I like put my foot up against the wall and then kind of like lean in to stretch my, what's the back lower muscle?
Calf.
Calf. To stretch my calves and stuff.
Yeah, those are great. I not wall sits, but I have a few clients, actually a lot of clients doing calf stretching. So calves in particular are really, they're one of the very like common limiting factors for people's squat depth. Mm-hmm. So in a squat, there was like, I don't know why. I remember I was talking to some of like my other coaching friends about this where maybe like 5 years ago, there was this really common cue where it was don't let your knees go over your toes in a squat.
Yeah,
I've been told this. I have been told this.
Absolutely no biomechanical sense.
Okay.
It does not make sense. So when you're doing just a little bit of background into squatting, when you're doing a squat and you have, say, like a barbell on your back.
Yeah, right.
You want to be squatting in a way that barbell is going to take a vertical path straight up and straight down. Mm-hmm. The way that is done, or the way that motion is created, is by having an equal displacement of your knees and your hips. So you're going to be bending at your ankles, knees, and hips in a way that you can just bring them back and like hips back, knees forward enough and equal to each other so that you go straight up and down. Mm-hmm. You have to bring maybe if you're quite short, you might not have to, but I know for most people, that means bringing your knees close to, if not quite a bit over your toes.
Huh.
So this whole idea of like, don't bring your knees over your toes is just ridiculous.
See, that is something actually that the remedial masseuse has been saying, not to bring my knees over my toes.
And that is something
is your remedial masseuse, are they doing personal, have they done a personal training degree?
I'm not
very defensive as
I'm
well.
I'm not siding but I mean, with like, them. I was just saying that is very interesting because that is what they are saying.
Yeah.
I, to be honest, think I'm currently... If I'm siding with anyone, I'm siding with you. Don't worry.
Honestly, like,
you got your back. I was told that when 5 years ago, whatever, when I was sort of training, and to this day, if I'm doing like lunges or those kind of like anything involving kind of like that squatting position, I'm making sure that trying not to get knee over foot. So that's that in the bin. Yeah,
throw that in the bin. Done. Same thing as push through your heels. Throw that in the bin as well.
Ah, okay.
Push through your heels is one that I do use occasionally in specific circumstances where somebody is not using their heel at all.
Okay.
But the whole, like, when we're doing a proper squat, like a well-balanced, powerful squat, we want to have, this is like going a little bit definitely off topic, but we want to have an even force production throughout our entire foot. So that's pressing evenly through, like, all of our foot, like through the balls of our feet as well as the heel.
Okay.
And so think, just like thinking about it in your head, if you have a foot where the knee isn't over the toes, how are you going to have that like even balance over the ball of your foot? Because there's no weight being placed over the top of it.
Yeah, right. So where did you, I guess like, yeah, weirdly, do you know where it came from? Do you know where this kind of like school of thought comes from?
I honestly don't.
Yeah. I'm sure it was the sort of thing where we thought one thing back then and then we're like, oh no, this thing instead. It's just,
it's that this is getting a bit even further off topic, but do you remember, I think it might have been, you might have heard about this, but it was like, I think in the 80s, they had this like little like rubber strip on the back of cars to stop like static electricity.
Oh yeah.
So the guy who's just made
to discharge
that,
the buildup of, build up of static
electricity, right? Because the fear was either, oh, all this static electricity in this car because it's going in motion. When you fill up, there's a little spark, and oh no, now the car's on fire and fuel everywhere and everything's burning. And so, like, the person who's like, well, then why don't we just put this little strip on the back of a car to kind of ground it, as it were, made millions. Oh, bullshit. Like, it's just meaningless. But everyone's like, no, we need this.
It's good. Yeah, so if thinking about our squat, I think maybe a potential reason for that cue of, like, push through your heels comes down to very common people very commonly having restrictions, mobility restrictions in their calves. When we have really tight calves, it is going to limit our ability to track our knee over our toes. It's going to, like, pull it in because it's really tight. That's something, I don't know if I've done it with you guys, but like a wall test. So go about five. So
have done this with me. Yes. Yeah.
So get a thumb and a fist from the wall. You can look up like calf. What is it? A kneeling wall, knee to wall test, something like that. If you want to see a visualization, but thumb and a fist from the wall, like line your toes up with that. Go down on one knee. And then try and bring your like knee or as close as you can to the wall. And it's going to show you like how tight your calves are.
As a layman, let me give an attempt at an explanation as well. Yep. So ball your fist, thumb out, and then put your fist up against the wall with your thumb sticking away from the wall. Mm-hmm. Put your toes against your thumb. So your balled fist and thumb length away. And then, without your foot leaving the ground, try to lean in towards the wall.
Yeah, specifically your heel. So if you do have a restriction mobility issue with your calf because they're really tight, it's going to try and pull your heel off. So what that looks like in a squat is somebody with really tight calves are going to be either unable to go down very far in their squat or when they go down far, they're going to have their knees stay in a position where they're going to lean their torso really far forward, which means that bar on their back is going to come forward as well rather than keep that nice vertical up and down. Yeah, right. So the reason that I went on that huge tangent is because, say, like for yourself, where that is something you've been prescribed to by a remedial masseuse, and I think I've also told you to do that one too, where it's you are going to accept that there might be a slight decrease in output strength of the calf, which in a squat, like whatever, it's not the driver of the movement, but there might be a slight decrease in output, but it's going to allow you to squat deeper, better, and over time, we will hopefully clear up that mobility issue so that you don't need to do any of that sort of stuff.
Sure.
That being said, if you can, do your static stretching first, dynamic stretching afterwards, because if you statically stretch, then dynamically stretch the same muscle group, it can get rid of that slight decrease in performance and just make it neutral again.
So static stretch first. Yep. Then dynamic stretches. Yep. All right. That is actually what I've been doing. So
yeah,
that works.
Perfect.
Cool.
Easy.
Yeah. So that's like the first part of our training. Like we always want to start that. It should normally go for like about 10 minutes-ish, depending on how like janky your body is and how much different stretches we need to do. But after that, then we get into what's called like the conditioning phase. Mm-hmm. And that's where we make like the proper progress of the session. So that's our, in this circumstance, like the weightlifting portion.
Okay.
So a little bit about structure of the conditioning session. We have two types of movements that our body can perform. They are compounds, which are
multiple joints.
Yeah, exactly. Multi-joint movements and isolations.
Single joint.
Perfect. So our compound movements should come first.
Okay.
The very common ones, which most people should have heard of, is bench press, which is acting upon the elbow and the shoulder mainly. A little bit maybe in the wrist, depending on how you're doing it. Mm-hmm. But it's like really the elbow and the shoulder are the joints that are acting. Mm-hmm. You're going to use your tricep, shoulder, and chest. Then we also have overhead press, which is like a standing shoulder hip press or whatever else you want to call it. Military press, it's also called. One thing you should know, exercises for one exercise, there can be like seven different names for it. It's so frustrating.
So often on like the app or whatever that you send our program to, I'll be like, all right, what's this exercise? And then I'll look it up and it'll be under a different name.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I assume this is the one.
It probably is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, you also have overhead press, squat, deadlifts, different variations upon those as well, like pull-ups as well. Yeah, so you want to put those first. If you're doing, say, like a full body program, so if you're doing like an upper-lower, it's kind of okay. You're just going to do like your bench press or like a row or something.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those first. But if you're doing a full body session where you have multiple, like quite a few different compounds and like quite heavy compounds as well, like you're doing benching, deadlifting and squat on the one day, which I would not super recommend, but say you are, you want to be prioritizing. Oh, here's the balance of it. There's a few things to balance.
Yeah.
You want to be.
Here it is.
The best thing for your body
mm-hmm.
is going to be doing the most like central nervous system demanding exercises first. So the muscle, the movements which are going to be the most demanding on the muscles.
Okay.
That would be your deadlift or your squat before your bench press.
Mm-hmm.
However, a consideration to be made is what do you want to be focusing on for your specific goals? So if you're like, at the moment, I'm going through a like upper body or like a chest growing phase where that's my focus, then you might accept that it's not going to be the most optimal for like body and energy system, but I'm going to do bench first because it means that I get to put more of my energy, prioritize it, and do my chest first.
Yeah, right.
Okay. A few things to think about.
So it's kind of like, well, I just want a big back, so I'm going to make sure that
I'm doing my rows.
That's the one I'm going to do first. Okay.
Yeah. So if you don't have any of those, do your squats or deadlifts first. Try and split those up to separate days, preferably, because they are just very taxing. Mm-hmm. They're going to tax your central nervous system, which is like mm-hmm. what's going to not lead to muscles feeling sore, but you just feeling drained of energy. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like central nervous system fatigue is just like this energy fatigue.
I think I've felt that. I think I know what that's like. Yeah.
Yeah, not full. So like full central nervous system fatigue would be like doing 4 to 5 days high intensity for about 6 to 8 weeks.
All right. Maybe I don't know what that feels like.
You can feel it like acutely though. Like there's definitely acute central nervous system fatigue. And I 100% like with some of the, when we're doing like our squats together, I wouldn't be surprised if you did. Yeah.
All right.
So we start with our compounds, because they are going to be using a lot more musculature. They're the lifts that we can go heavier on as well. And then we follow it up with our isolations. So
really, the compound ones are the ones where you can do a heavier weight?
Oh, 100%.
Really? Why is that?
Because you're using much more musculature. So a single... sense. Yeah, so...
Immediately makes sense.
Yeah.
So I can like do a bench press more when you do like a bicep curl.
Yeah.
It's kind of like with a bench, you can kind of do, you know, like a decent amount, but like a bicep curl, you're like, oh, 1 kilo.
Do you want to?
Yeah, exactly.
Really funny. In my mind, I was like, but the one muscle can just focus on what it's doing.
Nah, he raises a good point.
The one muscle's like, maybe. I don't need to worry about, I don't need to do all this other. Yeah.
Ape, singular, strong.
Yes.
Ape together, bad. Yes. Can't trust those apes.
Yes. Can't trust those other apes. They'll try to breed where you're trying to breed, and that's no good.
Exactly. So ape together bad, apes only one.
That's the trick with like alpha, beta, Romeo. Every time I do
Romeo. You know how they have zombies?
The car. Do you know the car, Alfa Romeo?
Oh, I was thinking Romero. Whoops.
Yeah. Anytime I hear alpha, beta, in my mind, I'm like alpha, beta, Romero. Anyway, that's the thing about alpha, beta, gamma, whatever.
It's
all bad. They're all cucks because they're operating in the system.
That's right. You got to do that. New male, the one that's
Sigma.
Operating.
Oh my god!
Outside the system.
That is the for everybody. Yeah. Like, I do not care if I'm alienating all the Sigmas listening to this show.
Oh yeah,
that is the most pretentious thing I've ever heard.
You got to be nice about it. So you're not a Sigma. You just need therapy.
Yeah. We all need therapy. Let's be real.
100%.
But it's so pretentious.
It's not fun. Pretentious.
Like, all of them are.
You just
alpha,
need,
beta, sigma. It doesn't matter. They're
therapy.
All pretentious. But
study that is all based off. The study that all was based off is so bunk. Like, even the main researcher was like, no, this is, we
Adam,
fucked it up.
It's all bunk.
But what happened was, instead of that regressing or anything like that, people on this fucking foundation of sand, people were like, what if we kept building? What if we made another type?
Just need therapy. It's okay.
I just think it just... It's just like, what is it? What do you call it? Like, it's, what is the term for it?
It's just like astrology for men.
It honestly is astrology for men, but it's just like finding, it's just like the perfect marketing scheme. Like, it's people who feel like they don't, like, nobody wants to identify as a beta. But it's like,
speak for yourself. I know where I am in this ranking. Really? This bullshit ranking.
You know, betas are just like the normal. In the original study, betas were just the normal ones. Like, neither the alphas nor the, I think it's like gamma or something like that.
Theta?
Those are the, yeah, something theta? Like that. Those are like the,
are we talking about sororities now?
Well, it's the Greek alphabet, right?
Yeah.
Hi, theta, I don't know sorority names.
Alpha, Omega.
Yeah, yeah. Betas were not the cucks. There was like another one of the cucks. The betas were just like the regular fucking
just
Joe
the men's
public.
Men.
Yeah.
Just the blokes.
Just that,
but it's become like cock. Oh. Anyway. Well, anyway. Yeah, it's
either
not,
way,
yeah.
It's all bullshit and just, hey, talk about your feelings.
Yes.
So yes, yeah, so,
as an alpha, I don't think I have feelings.
Yeah, it's repressing them, and I know someone or some people have hurt you in the past, and it's okay. We've all felt hurt. You just need to open up.
Yeah, I agree. It's okay to put it into the bottle. Yes. Yep. Screw that lid on tight and throw it away.
Exactly. What you do is you get the bad memory, you put it in a box, you close the box, you go into your mind palace. There's usually a lake there with a bit of a bridge. You grab the and you chuck
like
it
in, baby Moses.
Yeah, like baby Moses, you chuck it. You chuck it in the river. Yep. It goes downstream, and
like
it's
baby
never
Moses.
A problem.
And like Moses, it'll
it
never
was
come back.
Never
a problem.
It was never a problem.
Go to therapy.
It's weird to call baby Moses a problem, though.
Well, it was for a certain type of hero.
It's all a matter of perspective.
right, so... therapy aside,
programming.
Something?
Yeah. Something about that?
Yeah.
I forget what today's topic was.
Yeah, so the way you want to structure it is so that you have your compounds first, isolations after that.
Mm-hmm.
Isolations, as somebody would say, who could speak.
Yeah.
So with that, there's when we, I was like talking to some of my, like with some more advanced lifters, some ways that people like to add a little bit of higher intensity into their movements is by doing like, there's a few different like advanced techniques you can do. So there are some things like called cheat reps. You can do rest pause sets. What are some other ones? Just like exhaustion type
what
movements.
Are cheat sets?
So cheat reps are when you get to a point where say a bicep curl is a perfect example. The reason I say that when after talking about isolations is all of these movements, all these advanced type techniques should be saved specifically for your isolations because doing them in compounds is going to be like a little bit pointless, but it's also a little bit more dangerous and there's not a huge amount of point. But so say bicep curl, you have 30 kilo, easy bar curl, easy. You get up to 12 reps, but you can't do any more. However, you don't feel that your bicep is fully fatigued.
Okay.
So it's like you physically can't move it with good form, but you maybe feel like you have another 2 or 3 reps left in you to get to that full like 9 RPE where it's like fully taxed.
Okay.
So a cheat rep would be to get a slight bit of swing so you get it up and then say control the eccentric down.
Okay.
So it's getting a slight bit of degradation of form so that you can increase the intensity.
Okay.
Like I said, it's an advanced technique because you want to get the foundation of how to do a curl right. You want to know how to do it right first before you add it in. Okay. A better option is like when you have training partners is have somebody help you up where you don't need to get swing. Mm-hmm. They just help you move the rep. That's another way to get an increase or like drop sets as well. But there's a bunch of like different ways to do that.
I think I was doing one of those this week because you gave us a slightly, you piece of shit. I don't know if you recall this, but
thank you.
There was an exercise where it's not actually a pull-up. It's more of like a eccentric down.
Yeah. So eccentric pull-ups, it's less because that's an advance. Well, it is. It's more that when you can't do a pull-up first, or same thing with push-ups. I do this with some of my like clients who struggle with just regular push-ups, but they really want to get there.
Yeah.
Is rather than just struggle through trying to get a push-up, you just do the eccentric portion. So an eccentric, when we have movements, think about the bicep because it's always the easiest one to think about. Mm-hmm. Think about the bicep. When you bring your wrist close to your shoulder in a bicep curl, that is the concentric portion of the lift. The concentric is when the muscle fibers shorten, so they cross over, in this circumstance, bringing the wrist to the shoulder. The eccentric portion is when the muscle fibers lengthen, so when you lower back down, when you bring your... increase the angle in the elbow, bringing that wrist further away from the shoulder.
Okay.
The eccentric portion of a lift is where you will adapt to it, but traditionally is where you will create the most amount of muscle damage, but is also when you're the strongest. Mm. So you can exert more force on an eccentric pull-up than you would be able to on the concentric portion of the pull-up. Therefore, it's good to do eccentric pull-ups if you're trying to build yourself up to the stage where you can do a normal full concentric.
Okay. Yeah. Earlier this week, was it? We had a slightly different one and I had to look up what those were. And then I eventually had to ask you because I didn't really understand the concept. And then
this is like the point of me being there.
Yeah. I did them and then you changed the fucking, the thing or whatever. And so I'd done, you changed all the exercises. And so I'd done, because I guess they were like a slightly more advanced or different.
Oh, it was a different program that I set. And I was like, oh shit, it was too late. I was like, I did the wrong one.
Anyway, so I did the first exercise and then you changed the program. I'm like, whoops. Oh, okay. So this one that I've already done, what does it count for in these new ones?
Nothing, Adam.
Yeah, you were like,
I said extra gains, which it does.
Fuck you. Did you do them, by the way, Zaman?
No.
Because they this week, sucked.
Yeah, right. I can only imagine. Yeah,
it was not fun.
No, this week we'll get to this when we start talking a bit more about injury, that kind of stuff. But like, for some reason this week, I am feeling it pretty badly in my shoulders. Mm. Same. Like moving things above my head is just causing me a lot more grief than I kind of wanted to. And I guess, I'll put that conversation on hold. And when we get to injuries, because I've got some questions.
Sorry. Anyway, we were saying different types of exercises.
Yeah, so that's just like some things to keep in mind when doing isolations for more of like the advanced lifters out there.
Okay.
So they're not necessary, but they're just some things you can add in if you want. So with that, then to finish off, I like to do a bit of a cool down. You don't necessarily need to stretch, but going for like a walk or something just to let the blood settle and just finish all the workout.
Cool down seems to be the one that I feel like most people skip.
I skip it. Yeah. I don't like doing it.
But I remember also like boring. Reading, I think ages ago, the whole idea of like, you know, oh, you're stretching after a.
Yeah, I've heard it was very important.
To be like, oh, really? It used to be, again, that kind of thing where you keep, you know, your knee above your foot or whatever. Mm-hmm. But where it's kind of like, you know, it used to be very, very important. But then the studies were like, actually not that important as we initially thought. So
if a client is saying, oh, I felt really, really sore, like the DOMS were really bad the next day after doing this certain movement in this muscle. Mm. I'm like, cool. Because it was extreme, like it was sore to a point of like discomfort or you couldn't do stuff. It's still DOMS, like it's not injury or anything, but then start to do some static stretching at the end or some like foam rolling, that sort of thing. Outside of that, don't really worry about it. It's kind of where I go.
Well, look, I hate foam rolling. So if you're telling me that I don't have to do it, I'm not going to do it, but that I'm sure is going to come back to bite me. In fact, I know. In fact, it has come back to bite me.
Yeah. So going just to kind of round this off. So that is what we need to be cramming into our session. Mm-hmm. However long that takes is really up to you.
Yeah.
What you want to be doing at a minimum is about 10 sets per muscle group per week. So what that looks like, say for the chest, we want to be doing compound movements. So compounds are great.
Yeah.
If you're doing 3 days a week, you will be doing more compound movements, or maybe like the same compound movements, but you're going to have like less isolation because the compounds are going to allow you to train multiple different muscle groups all at once. And that's going to allow you to get to that 10 to 20 sets without doing as many exercises and spending as long in the gym. Yes, Adam.
So what, this is maybe something you were already about to say, but what would you say is a good ratio of compound to isolated over the course of, let's say, a session and then over the course of a week?
It really depends.
Yeah?
It so depends. I would say, I feel like everybody should be doing about 3 compounds a session. This is like such a generalization. So if you guys listening
are like,
this doesn't work for me. It's like, cool. It might not. It's not going to work for everybody, but very broad for those who are like, I don't know where to start. Do 3 compounds a session. Mm-hmm. If you're doing full body 3 days a week, just do those 3. Mm-hmm. If you have a particular area you want to focus on, maybe do 1 isolation movement for that specific area at the end. But if you do 3 compounds, do like 1 pull movement, 1 push movement, 1 leg movement, do those each 3 days for those 3 days of the week, you'll be more than fine. For doing upper lower, do like 2 to 3, doesn't matter that much. Then you can start to add in some isolations because you might have a little bit more time in that session. Mm-hmm. But yeah, really, 3, do 3 sets. I love 3 to 4 sets is like the perfect amount. If you're doing more powerlifting style training, then you want to increase your sets but decrease your reps. But yeah, that's kind of how I like to structure it. And beyond those 3, then you can start to add in your isolation movements.
Hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so that's just, yeah. So the compounds are just great because you get higher volumes for multiple muscles. It's more time efficient, I'll say.
Gotcha. So again, if you're time starved, you really want to be focusing on the compounds.
Yeah.
That's your best time for maximizing your time for
gains.
Yes, thank you.
Or Gains, as the bros might say, which we are nothing if not bros.
Yeah. I'm one of them.
Another thing to keep in mind is rest breaks. So
yes,
rest time is very complicated within itself as well. So optimal is like that longer rest. So I think we talked a little bit about it during our like discussion of like strength and hypertrophy training, but as a general rule, you don't want to be resting less than a minute. The more rest you can get while still being like efficient with your time, so like this time you spend in a session being like good for yourself, the more rest you can get, the greater your output in a certain movement will be in the preceding sets. What does that mean? Let me explain quickly. So what that might look like is I can do 100 kilo bench press for 8 reps. I do that, I get up to a high RPE because we want to be reaching that RPE of like 7 to 9. So say I got to a 9, but I only rest for a minute. It's very short.
9 fully, RPE meaning?
I only had 1 rep left in the tank.
Okay.
Rate of perceived exertion is what RPE is. 1 to 10, 10 is max, 9 is 1, 8 is 2, 7 is 3 reps, and so on. so I only had... Yeah, I only had a minute rest. My body hasn't fully recovered. So by the time I do my next set of bench press at 100 kilos, keeping the weight the same, I will only be able to get, let's say, 5 reps.
Okay.
So I have a really quite a dramatic decrease in exercise output. So the stimulus applied to the muscle in the first set is significantly less than the second set.
So a longer rest would allow you to...
Let's say, exactly. So like 2.5 minutes, I might be able to get 6 reps this time.
Hmm.
5 minutes, I might be able to get 7 or 8. So really bringing it up to that equal. And so the reason that that is important is when we're able to do more reps at a certain weight or a certain intensity, it is going to mean that there is more stimulus applied to the muscle. The more stimulus applied, the greater the breakdown of the muscle fibers, the greater the breakdown, the greater muscle protein synthesis demand, and the greater the adaptations you're going to achieve.
A 2-part question. So first part is, I sometimes take quite long breaks. I don't know if I would take longer than like 10 minutes. That seems a lot, way too much. But is there like an amount where you're like, all right, you should be getting back? I know it could be a very broad thing, but is there an amount of time that you would say is maximum?
Yeah, it's... really, so I can't remember. I'm not sure if there has been anything preceding this, but I know that the most that has been like studied was a max of 8 minutes.
Okay.
And there continued to be a greater output up to that 8 minutes. So theoretically...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It could be infinite.
Yeah.
Because there hasn't been anything to suggest that it's not. But obviously there was diminishing...
I'm in between reps right now.
But so obviously there's like diminishing returns with that. So it's not going to be infinite. Mm. I would say if you have the time for your compounds specifically, take about 5 to 10 minutes if you have the time.
Yeah.
If you have the time. You don't need to, but it's not going to hurt to do it either.
Okay.
For your isolations, that 2 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes really should be the max.
Okay.
But for those trying to like be time efficient, you don't want to be in the gym for less than 60 minutes. You're not going to get a lot done without it, because by the time you finish your warm up, stretching, and you're actually into your conditioning phase, you're not going to have much time left. So a lot of people just go for an hour. For those people, try for 2 minutes for your compounds, a minute for your isolations.
Okay.
And it'll keep you pretty safe. It's not going to be optimal, but it's going to be more optimal for your time.
Sorry, the second part of my question was, is this good for both building, to go back to an earlier topic, building strength and building muscle size?
Yep, so there is a little bit different.
Yeah.
So the strength, so I guess, yeah, as I'm sure people... I've already realized my bias does tend to lean towards like hypertrophy from like my bodybuilding background. So it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
So the more strength side of things is very dominant on compound lifts. Like the lifts that you're going to get strong in are your compounds. Because of that, it means that you'll do higher sets, lower reps, but you're going to have long ass rest breaks.
Okay.
I think we discussed a little bit in that. So if you like want to go a little bit deeper, listen back to the strength episode again. But it is that like there's the little bit of a joke of like powerlifter bringing their pillow and doona to the bench when they're doing their bench press
day. A little rest nap. Yeah, I'm all for that.
Oh, I've pretty much done it myself sometimes. But so it's like the longer you rest, they get like 5 to 10 minutes per set.
Yeah.
But obviously, that's not going to be as time efficient. So if that's what you're looking for, you know, just keep it in mind. It's the best time to spend in the gym is a time that works for you.
Mm. That makes sense.
But these are all the things to consider as well.
Just a quick glossary of terms for today, I suppose. What was the first topic we covered?
We went through how to break down a session. Mm-hmm. So we do warm-ups, dynamic, so static stretching first, if you have them specific for mobility limitations. Then dynamic stretches after that. Then you're going to go into your compound lifts first, followed by isolation lifts, leaving any sort of like advanced technique for the last set of isolations. And then you're going to do some sort of cool down or like foam rolling or stretching if you feel that you're like particularly sore in an area.
Right.
All right. Cool, cool, cool.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Adam.
And I've been Zach.
Happy lifting. Thanks
for listening to Super Gym Friends. Once again, we are not medical doctors, physiotherapists, or dietitians. We are, at best, bumbling fuckwits. So please check with a healthcare professional before making any changes. If you want to get in touch, send us an email at supergymfriends@gmail.com. And to continue the conversation, head on over to our Sandspans Discord or Facebook group. Links to those are in the show notes.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.